So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
It's time to get green. Doug Oster and Jessica Walliser are in the house. All natural, no pesticides, no artificial ingredients. The Organic Gardeners. Is Radio 1020 KDKA.
All right, tell you what we're going to do to begin the festivities. Let's give away a $25 gift certificate from the good folks Sorgles out in Wexford. The number is 412-922-1020. 412-922-1020. Doug and Jess ready to get rolling. Of course, Davey Trees, Talking Trees, 30 minutes away. So let's get to Doug and Jess right now on this week's edition of The Organic Gardeners. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. I'm Doug Oster from the Tribune Review and EverybodyGardens.com.
And I'm horticulturist Jessica Walliser.
Happy Earth Day! Hooray!
Every day is Earth Day when you're an organic gardener.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
But happy Earth Day anyway. Are you going to go plant some trees or something?
Well, you know, I posted something online about Earth Day, and a classmate of mine remembers the first Earth Day that we had in fifth grade, and I can't remember
back
this.
Back in the 1800s?
1970. He remembers that on the side of the school that they had like a burial ceremony,
okay.
Burying fresh air, fresh water, and fresh land with three graves for the first Earth Day, and I don't recall that, but I thought that was kind of interesting. You know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was, you know.
Very dramatic for fifth grade.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
It was a big deal, you know. We don't really, you know, I used to think of Earth Day as being a big deal, but you kind of barely don't even hear about it anymore.
Yeah. Usually, you know, like eco organizations and things will have tree plantings or river cleanups or something like that. But yeah, you're right. It doesn't make the news as much as it should. But we like to think every day is Earth Day, and when we garden, especially.
Well, join me today at the South Hills Home Show, 2 o'clock. It's down in Bethel Park at the Cool Spring Sports Complex this year. We're talking spring gardening, and I got lots of great free seed collections, courtesy of John Sheeper's Garden Seeds. That's today at 2 p.m., South Hills Home Show. And what were you saying before we came on about a reader? You had a comment.
I got a letter in the mail through the Trib from a gentleman named Ed in Seven Fields, and it includes a picture. And it's a great story about he heard us talking about moles and different signs of spring and how the moles make those little mounds of soil in the yard. And he doesn't really do anything about them just like I do. I just sort of smooth those mounds over and throw in a little bit of grass seed, and that's that. Well, he told me the story of how in August he was smoothing one of those mounds, and here he found an Indian arrowhead.
Wow.
So the mole.
She's got a picture of it.
Yeah. The mole had brought up an Indian arrowhead, and he sent it to the editor of Indian Artifact Magazine, and it was identified as one from the Archaic Age, which makes it at least 4,000 years old.
Wow.
So now he's waiting and wondering to see what the moles bring up next, what they unearth. Isn't that cool?
You got to post that on your Facebook page.
I'm going to put it up there. I'll put the picture up there. And I thought it was such a great story, and I wanted it to share it. And this is in Seven Fields.
Man, so that's so cool.
Yeah. Isn't that cool? 4,000 years old, and there a little old mole dug it up and excavated it. You never know what you're going to find in the garden.
Boy, that's good. It would be good to... I wonder what... Who was living there back then?
What tribes? I don't know.
That's really interesting.
Would it be
and
the
what's
Seneca?
That made out of?
Would it be the Seneca?
I have no idea.
I don't know. It's a really interesting dark stone, and it's a pretty cool picture. So I'm going to post it on my Facebook page with the story so that you all can see what a 4,000-year-old arrowhead looks like.
I've never found an arrowhead. Have you?
When I was a kid, we used to find them sometimes around the field edges when we would go up to the mountain, and we would go walk around the farmer's fields, because when they would plow, they would bring them up. And, you know, of course, when you're a kid, everything that has that faint triangular shape, you're like, it's an arrowhead,
right.
You know, but you can tell when they are, when they're chipped away. And
right next to
like
a three-leaf clover.
Right. How unusual.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, how about the daffodils? I know it's been a tough spring, but what a spring for daffodils.
It has been absolutely great. Mine look fantastic this year.
I went to see our friend Brent Heath from Brent and Becky's Bulbs speak And I took them daffodils. I thought it'd be kind of fun. And I've got a bunch of old varieties. The house was from 39 and a bunch of new ones too. And I gave him this handful of, got to be 50 different flowers. And he was able to name all of them except one. Just by looking at
them. Even the really old varieties?
Yeah, those are the ones he was best at, actually. I'm going down to Washington County tomorrow. I'm going to do a story on a guy who grows thousands of heirloom daffodils, and I can't wait to tell that story.
I bet that's going
to
be some beautiful pictures.
Oh, man, yeah. When I talked to him last week, he says, by the time you get here, everything should be in the peak.
Wow.
Oh, man. Well, this is why we plant bulbs in the fall. You know, I'm always saying, well, it's not instant gratification, but boy, this is the payoff. And I know daffodils aren't around long, but man.
I tell you, after a winter like the one we had
so
this
special.
Year, yeah, they were needed. For sure.
And just the fragrance of all the different ones, the different colors, I love that they're, little ones with some pink in them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's just absolutely wonderful. And then I'm so excited that you ID'd that one plant for me, Pushkinia, if I'm saying that right.
Yep.
Because I put it on my Facebook page and people have just been stopping me here and there saying, where did you get it? And I said, I can't remember. Because I went back and looked online to see the different places that I had ordered from at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Neither one carry it. So I might have found it at Han Nursery.
I was going to say, I wonder if it was one of those ones you got from there.
So now I've got a new obsession.
Oh, you're going to start a Pushkinia collection?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there you go. There's worse things you could collect.
All right, listen, congratulations to Scott from Scott Township. He won, like I said, Amy from Scott Township, the winner. Hey, folks, it's a living.
It's early in the morning, too.
Early? This is lunchtime. I've been up since 1:30. All right, listen, congratulations to Amy from Scott Township, winner of that great gift certificate from Sorgles. We've got the one from Janoski's to give away in about 15, 20 minutes from now. And also the folks from Davy Trees will be stopping by as well. But if you want to talk to Doug and Jess, I highly urge you to call now to get one of these phone lines while they're available. 866-391-1020. Dollar Bank, Instant Access, KDKRadio.com. Good morning.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners. News Radio 1020 KDKA.
All right, let's get right to the phones for Doug and Jess. Here is Dave from Sarver. Good morning, Dave. Welcome to KDKA Radio.
Hey, good morning. Got a quick question. I have a bunch of daffodils that are just beautiful. They're just rogue daffodils that we kind of forget about every year, and they just come up, and this year, you're right, they're just as spectacular as ever. But I just wondered, do you need to lift daffodil bulbs every year, or can you just put them in and forget about them?
Forget about them.
Oh, that's
forget about
that's
it.
That's what's great about daffodils. Yep, just leave them do their thing. They'll naturalize. The clump will get bigger and bigger every year. You'll have more blooms. Just let them do their thing. Make sure, though, that you don't cut off that foliage before it's at least 50% yellowed. If you cut the foliage off too soon, it won't return sugars down to the bulb to feed the bulb for next year's bloom. So just leave the leaves die back naturally if you can.
Very good.
Okay.
Great show, guys. Thank you.
The only time we ever lift them is when they get too crowded and they don't do their thing. And I did that about, 5-6 years ago on some that were just like were barely blooming.
Mm-hmm.
And now they are just like going crazy. And they're a real old variety. One of my favorites. Just a kind of a simple yellowish green flower.
Nice.
All right.
Nice.
Let's say hi to Brad in Clarion. Brad, good morning. Welcome to KDK Radio.
Good morning, people. I've got a money plant in here. It's about 11 years old now, and it's starting to thin out. Don't have so many leaves on it as it did when it was in its prime. I was just wondering how long that's going to last.
Okay, let's figure out for sure what type of plant you're talking about. So you said money plant, which is a common name for a couple of different plants. Is this a house plant?
Yes.
Okay, and it has round leaves on a long, thin leaf stalk?
Yeah, right.
Okay, and you said it's getting too thin, so the leaves are pretty sparse on there?
Yeah, I was wondering, is it on its way out, or how long will that last?
Yeah, I mean, it should last forever. I mean, that should be a house. But have you ever repotted it into...
Yes, we did.
Okay.
It was in a small... It was small when we got it. We had our 50th anniversary, and somebody got it for us for her gift.
Oh, nice.
And it was in a smaller plant, and as it grew, I knew it was outgrowing the pot it was in. So it's on about a 12 by... 12 inches high and about 12 inches round pot right now.
Okay.
Seem to have big enough room, you know.
If it was me, I would feed it. I would give it I would feed it, give it a little bit of organic liquid fertilizer. You don't have to go crazy on it because they don't need much, but just a little bit.
I don't think I want to put cow manure on it in the house, do I?
No. Definitely not cow manure. But there are some liquid organic houseplant fertilizers.
Horse manure.
Yeah, there you go. That would work quite well. And
actually, for you, Brad, bear manure.
Right?
And now that it is coming onto their prime growth season, so right now is a period of active growth for them. Now that the days are getting longer, this is an excellent time for all houseplants to start a fertilization program and really to generate some new growth, and I do think that that's really going to help quite a bit.
I thought about putting it outside, but I don't know if that would work or not. I didn't know if I would survive or not.
Yeah, you certainly can, but I wouldn't do that until well after the danger of frost has passed. So usually around the end of May, I would not put it into full blasting sun. I'd put it somewhere where it's, you know, at least shade in the afternoon, if not shade all day. You know, the trouble with that, as always, when you take houseplants inside, is in the fall when you have to bring them inside, I always get worried that you're bringing in pests, because sometimes does happen. So if it's happy where it is inside of the house and you have nice dark leaves, even if they are sparse, I think you might just want to let it go and start the fertilization program.
I love this weather. It's everything's coming out. Flowers are coming. The daffodils are got snow on them last Monday, I guess it was. We had a snowfall about an inch and a half, and I was wondering if everything going to survive. Looked down at my neighbor's house, and I thought I was living in the Alps.
Thanks for your call, Brad.
Thanks so
Always
much,
good
Brad.
To hear from you.
All right, let's talk to Dorian in McKees Rocks. Welcome to KDK Radio. Hey, Dorian.
Do you have spearmint seeds?
Say it again.
Spearmint. I need to grow spearmint. I make sun tea on my boat. I need spearmint leaves. Can I get seeds to grow spearmint?
Yeah, and actually it's much better to grow from a plant than it is to grow from seed, because it will take a while to get going from a seed. But if you can buy a plant at a local nursery.
Which you could find anywhere.
Yeah, I'd grow it in a pot, though, instead of putting it in the ground, because it is really an aggressive plant, and it will take over the whole garden in short order. So grow it in a nice big pot or a raised bed.
I've got mint that was there when I got there, and I put a pool on top of it, and I still have mint that's there when I got there.
And you should tell people that it's a big above-ground pool. It's not a little baby pool on top of it. I mean, it's a big pool, and that mint keeps coming up. Yeah, very aggressive.
Be careful.
You can have sun tea forever.
Yes.
All right, Jim in Moon Township, KDK Radio. Good morning, Jim. Hello.
Talked to you earlier in the year, maybe last year, regarding a fig tree that I have. I still haven't transplanted it yet. It's in a big pot that sort of cones down. Lots of roots coming. I know there's a bunch of roots down there. I had it in the house all year, leaving like crazy. I did a nice cutback on it, and I want to break it up, and I'm probably going to lose the pot to take it out because I'm sure there's a ton of roots. And I got this good friend's getting a big birthday this Wednesday, and I want to give her some of it. I just don't want to put it in the ground. I want to put it in another barrel. So you have some suggestions. I don't want to lose it. I want to know how to break it up and transplant it in maybe a couple other pots.
I don't know that you usually can't divide a fig tree like that unless it is a multi-stemmed shrub.
Yeah, do you have a lot of stems coming out of there?
I certainly do.
Okay. So if you can get it such that each stem, when you go down and dig down into the soil, that a stem has a root portion coming off of it, if it has a root system coming off of it, you can physically just cut it off of the mother plant and pot it up. It's pretty unusual for that to happen, though, because usually, even if you follow those branches down, it does all kind of conjoin onto one trunk. Way down at the base of the plant. So you're just going to have to investigate and get down in there and see if each single stem has a separate root system on it.
You know, I still, my fig tree, I haven't unwrapped yet, Jess.
And mine either, yeah.
I think it's
I brought mine outside, and I just want to, I don't want to lose it, but I know I'm going to lose the pot, I'm sure. I don't want to take the whole plant out and just break it up and see if I can comfortably split it up.
Yeah, I mean, the other option is you can take cuttings of it. I mean, fig shoots are actually really easy to get to root. If you just go to a local garden center and get a little container of rooting hormone and cut off a shoot, put some rooting hormone on the base and insert it into a pot of soil and make sure that it stays well watered. Figs are pretty easy to get to root that way. That might be a better way.
When would you put that fig in the ground?
The big one or
his? Because I know that you...
If it's already in leaf, it's too early to put it in the ground outside.
All right, because I know you want to give that present to your friend here soon, but I think if it'd be better to split it up and put it in the ground at planting time, as opposed to doing it now because he's going to be getting it out of that pot and everything. If you're going to, I would wait. Maybe give her a certificate for your upcoming fig when you do the planting.
All right, thank you for the call. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Lots more to come, including Talking Trees with Davey Trees when we continue on The Organic Gardeners on KDK Radio. Good morning.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners. News Radio 1020 KDKA.
And now it's time for Talking Trees, a service of the Davey Tree Expert Company.
All right, before we get to Talking Trees, I want to remind everyone that you can join the program at 866-391-1020, Dollar Bank Instant Access, kdkradio.com, and you can text us on the Right Automotive Line, the best deal in town. Right now, the 10th caller at 412-922-1020 wins a $25 gift certificate from Janoski's.
We are Talking Trees. We got Matt Fromm from Davey Tree with us today, and the first thing we're going to talk about is Arbor Day. Time to plant trees. Hooray.
Yeah.
Don't sound so excited. Well, we were talking off the air, and you said that one of the most common questions is, what kind of tree can I grow that's not going to get big, that doesn't drop leaves, that doesn't have fruits?
Right. Yeah, people always have lots of different requirements for planting trees. One of the biggest questions I get is, can I plant a tree that doesn't get big? And dwarf Sergeant Crabapple is one of the ones I recommend. It's a nice flowering tree. It gets white flowers early in the spring, but it only gets to be a mature height of 6 to 8 feet tall, which can be, you know, you can integrate that into your landscape in a variety of different ways.
You know, do you ever see trees planted in containers? Is that something that people can do? That's to be more of a big commercial property, right, for something like that?
Yeah, you can plant trees in containers, but the B&B or the burlap trees are much nicer to plant. Containerized trees usually have restricted roots from the container. So we do see that, but we try to plant B&B trees if we can.
Well, Arbor Day has to be a big deal for somebody that deals with trees every day, right?
It is. We are going to be in attendance at the Garden and Landscape Symposium of Western PA. It's actually the day after Arbor Day, April 28th. So there'll be some arborists on hand for that. Davey Tree is a company that tries to promote Arbor Day by, just encouraging people to plant trees and get outside and experience trees in your favorite park or natural area.
So oftentimes we think about planting trees in the fall, but spring is also a good time to plant trees. Take us through just the basics of getting a tree in the ground so that we do it the right way and make sure that it's planted so that it's going to thrive for a long time.
Well, the first thing you want to do is pick the right tree for your planting location. So you want to decide where you want to plant the tree and evaluate the soil there, evaluate the sunlight there. Is it a shady spot? Is it exposed sun? And pick the right tree species for that spot.
So for you, like if you're going to take a look at the soil, what are we doing there? Are we just getting in there kind of digging and seeing if it's clay or if it's nice or...
Basically, yeah, you want to see how compact is the soil. Do you need to do any amendments? Sometimes you might need to add some organic matter to the soil if it's excessively compact or a clay soil. You want to evaluate the drainage to see how wet is the soil. Is it a sandy soil versus clay, like you mentioned?
And then the actual planting process. So when we do go out and plant, I know that that's really different for a containerized tree than it is for one that's bald and burlap. And so the question that I always get continually with the burlapped one is, do I remove the metal cage? Do I remove the burlap? Do I remove all the twine? So talk about that process a little bit.
That's very important and often overlooked. People assume they can just plant the tree with the burlap on the root ball, but you really do need to remove it.
Mm-hmm.
Most trees come tied up. You want to take the twine off, cut the basket if there is a basket, and remove the burlap. Sometimes it's not feasible if it's a really big tree to do it efficiently, so you just want to take it off maybe the top third of the tree, because that will restrict the roots over time. You don't want to have anything impeding the progress of root growth.
And that actually comes off once the tree is in the hole, right? So you don't actually take that burlap off until the tree root ball is in the hole, because otherwise that root ball kind of falls apart, right?
Correct. It's easier to do it when it's in the hole, especially with bigger trees.
Yeah.
A smaller tree, you might be able to do it out, you know, before you put it in the ground, but bigger trees, it's much more difficult to do.
So as far as how deep that tree is going to be planted, we know how important that is. How do you do that before you get it into the hole?
The easiest way is just to, you can just use the handle of your shovel to estimate the depth of the root ball, find the root collar of the tree.
Which is where it flares out, where the trunk flares out. Okay.
Correct. And just get an estimate of that, and then, you know, start digging your hole and just keep taking a few measurements to make sure you don't dig it too deep, because you can always dig it deeper. But once you dig it down too deep, then you got to start putting fill in there and things to level it out. And that's not a good
and thing. Important not to go too deep, right?
Correct. Yes. Yeah. Tree roots need oxygen to survive. And, oftentimes that's one of the most common problems we see, is people plant the tree too deep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the tree roots are going to grow within that first 12 inches of soil. So if you plant them too deeply, they can't get the oxygen that they need to thrive.
And now, I was going to ask you, too, because we're talking about the planting process, right? So is it, do you fertilize at planting time, or do you wait a year? And if you do fertilize, what do you do? Do you do something that really promotes root growth instead of top growth? When does that all happen?
You can fertilize at time of planting. It's not 100% necessary, but you should follow it up. Once the tree is established, you should probably follow up with a fertilization. So if you plant the tree in the spring, you want to follow that up with a fall fertilization. Or if you plant in fall, you want to follow it up with a spring fertilization.
And how about staking? When you plant it, are you supposed to stake it so it stands up, or will it stand up on its own?
You can stake trees. I try to avoid that as much as I can, because a tree that is grows on its own without a stake will be much more resilient to wind and things like that in the long run. But sometimes it is necessary, depending on the soil and depending on the condition of the root ball. Sometimes you get a root ball that's not real solid.
Okay.
The tree might move a little bit, and you want to make sure that it stays upright.
Well, Matt, thanks so much for coming in. You're going to stick around, though. We might have some tree questions for you. We're going to try and stump you. For more information about Davy Tree, or to ask what's going on with your trees.
That was horrible. Stump tree.
I didn't even know I did that.
Listen, that actually made me wake up.
Well, I've done my job once again.
Yes, you have.
For more information about Davy Tree, or to ask what's going on with your trees, go to www.davy.com/KDK. And don't forget, you can always call the experts at Davy Tree at 855-982-TREE. That's 855-982-8733.
All right, Doug, Jess coming back, and Matt's going to hang out a little bit long in case we have any tree questions. They're with us every other week, the good folks at Davy Tree. Find out more at davytree.com or davy.com. Facebook, Twitter, they're everywhere. Now listen, 866-391-1020. Got a couple of open phone lines for you if you want to call in. You can text us at the Right Automotive line, or reach me at Dollar Bank Instant Access, kdkradio.com. Good morning.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners. News Radio 1020, KDKA.
All right, next hour, Coons Cooking Hour, Heffron Tillotson, and Germani and You, then the Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show. But right now, it is the Organic Gardeners with Doug and Jess. And from the Right Automotive text line, is it a good time now to trim my burning bush? What do you think?
You can trim burning bush anytime.
Anytime's a good time for burning bush.
Yeah, that's one of those things that is near impossible to kill. And you can actually, it's getting a little bit late. I prefer to do it when the tree is in total dormancy, and you can cut them back pretty hard. You know, typically with shrubs, we'll say, you know, no more than a third of the growth at any one time. But with burning bush,
just light it on fire.
You can really have a burning bush. No, I mean, you can cut it back really hard and it will be just fine. So I wouldn't worry too much about that.
All right, a couple of Dollar Bank Instant Access messages that have been waiting in the wings before we get back to the phone calls on the Organic Gardeners. What was the name of the tree that only grows 6 to 8 feet? Just mentioned. Also, it is a corn gluten that you use on your lawn to help with weeds.
So, Matt, what was that tree? Tell us a little bit more about that tree.
It's called Dwarf Sergeant Crabapple.
A Sergeant Crabapple.
Dwarf Sergeant Crabapple. And what color are the flowers?
They're white.
Nice.
White flowers, early spring. So right now they would, you know, be just getting ready to.
But what do we do if it puts fruit on?
You admire it in the winter.
That's right, and enjoy that you're feeding the birds, right? It's
exactly.
Like they're a great food source for the birds. Yes, and the other question was corn gluten meal. And yes, now is the time. The forsythia are blooming. The soil temperature is getting to be just about ready for the crabgrass to germinate. So now is the time to put that down as a weed preventative. It will not get rid of existing weeds, so it's not going to get rid of the dandelions that are already in your lawn or your flower beds, but it will prevent any new weed seeds from germinating.
Great. Organic control.
All right, this must be for you, Doug. Where did the bird bath come from your video?
Okay, that is from a local woman, and all I have for her is her first name, which I can't remember off the top of my head, and her email, which is in the video. If you watch the video at everybodygardens.com, there's this. So I was up at Glade Run.
I was like, this has got to be a bigger story than what you're saying right now.
I was first at Bedner's in Bridgeville, then I had to go up to Zelianople to speak at Glade Run Lutheran Services. You know, we love them up there. Justin and I both do. And as soon as I came running in, you know, I was starving. And so one of them was, here, we'll get you some. Okay, I get something to eat. And I'm sitting there and I look across the way from me and it's a friend of mine that I know her face from the Southern Butler Garden Club. And she has these like handmade bird baths, like made out of like crystal vases and stuff, like stacked on top of each other. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yep, yep.
And they were just, there was one that was just like so beautiful and it was only $40. And I was like, are you serious? Is that right? $40? And I was thinking, well, what, you know, because of course I was going fishing next. And I was like, well, where am I going to put it in my truck? You know, because it's glass and everything. Mm-hmm. And I started, I had to have it. And I got it home and Cindy was just like, man, that thing is awesome. That is beautiful. And so I put it in the video and now I can't remember anything about it except that you watch the video and you'll see there's a little email address that comes up on that video that'll tell you how to get a hold of her and you'll be able to find her locally to find some of those cool handcrafted bird baths. I love it. I just love it.
All right, Faye, 84, Pennsylvania. Good morning. Welcome to the Organic Gardeners. You're on KDK Radio.
Good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call. And this might be for all three of you, Matt included. I have a 52-year-old rubber tree plant that I bring in the winter with a dolly.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real effort to bring it in and to take it back out. I watered it the other day, and oh my God, the ants, red ants, little red ants. What do I do?
Oh, well, welcome to the rubber tree plant club, because I have a beautiful red rubber tree plant that mine's about 6 feet tall, and I absolutely love it. I'm like you. I haul it in, but I leave it in the garage for the winter, and then I haul it back out in the spring, and I do it every year, and it's
yep.
A great plant. I love it. So,
well, wait,
I do too, and it's 52 years old.
That's
I don't want
crazy.
To get rid of it.
Right. No, and you
so
don't have to.
So it goes into a cold garage and just kind of goes into dormancy?
Yeah, but it's just in a leaf. I mean, it just,
wow.
We have one little window on the side of the garage and then the three little windows in the garage door itself, and it just gets just enough light. I do not water it the entire winter long. All my succulents are in the garage all winter. Never water my banana trees. Just sit in there, right? So you need to repot that, and here's what I would
say. Oh, no.
Yeah,
that doesn't sound like fun.
I know. It doesn't sound like fun, but I mean, the other option, so I'm thinking here, because...
Well, should I call Matt?
Well, he kind of looked at me like, oh, a rubber tree plant. That's sort of an indoor tropical house plant versus an outdoor plant that the arborist usually
deal with. This is not a plant like yours.
No, I know, but it's a tropical one. So it's, you know, there are some ant baits that you could use that you could try putting in there that would, like a borax-based bait that would help control those ants, and that might work. I hesitate to tell you to do something like a insecticidal soap drench because I don't know how rubber tree plants will respond to that, and I don't want you to kill it. Right. So.
Oh no! And it seems like it's in the dirt.
Yeah, I'm sure they probably have a nest in there or a colony in there. So I would say maybe try the borax bait.
How does that work? It's just you buy it as a. Ant bait, a safe ant bait?
Well, you can buy it in like those little cartridges, right, that you set out. I actually make my own, which we usually don't tell, but for the ants that come into my house, I mix borax, one part borax, two parts sugar, and then I put enough warm water in there to make it like a paste.
But we have to make sure that nothing else can get to that,
you
right?
You cannot let your cats, your dog, your kids, anybody else near it, because
so
it's very dangerous.
How do you
And what
do
I
that?
Do then is I put it out in a little container, and then I put it underneath like a Pyrex dish or something like that, so nothing else can get to it. But that's something you could try. I mean, normally I don't like recommend household stuff like that for indoor ants. That does work as long as you do it safely.
You know, we should actually have a tree expert on to talk about that question.
Yeah, but he looked at you. You didn't know that before. You didn't hear when she was asking the question. He looked at me like "Ooh, I don't know much about rubber tree plants, because it's not a plant that can grow outside here. It is a tropical plant, traditionally considered a house plant."
Matt, you can talk. You know, we love Davey Tree, so go ahead.
I have no experience with rubber trees.
Right. See,
and
he gave me the look. I knew it from his look, Rob Pratt.
He needs to go back to tree school.
Even though it's his first day on the radio, these two were able to connect.
We were. He looked at me and he goes,
That's how good this show is, Rob.
Because I have control of the microphone, sir. I want to spend 1 minute talking about what you did yesterday, because I have a lot of respect for those Harmonites and their ancestry, and it carries on at the Old Economy Village.
We had a lot of fun at Old Economy Village yesterday at their Spring Garden Workshop, and I taught container gardening. I made my ultimate garlic lover soup, Jess, and I am telling you.
Is that what that smell is?
Yeah, Stephanie came home for a visit. My daughter Stephanie came home, and as soon as she opened the door, she started kind of like, I guess the same thing that would happen like if you walked into like tear gas. She was like coughing and like, what is going on in here? And then when I got it going in the barn, people were outside the barn, outside a huge barn, and they could smell it. So, but you know what? There was nothing left at the end. So we had a lot of fun and helping support Old Economy Village. Go see your Old Economy Village, man. The cool gardens. Dean Sylvester is the historic horticulturalist there.
And because of the good folks, and I've talked about them from the Allegheny Health Network a lot. I've known many of them for a quarter of a century. The Cool Springs Sports Complex is incredible. Andy was there yesterday. You're both going to be back there later today.
That's right. I'll be there today, 2 o'clock, for the South Hills Home Show, giving away lots of seeds, talking gardening. It's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. Always love doing the South Hills Home Show. Remember, the organic gardeners always aim to create a better place to garden
and a safer place to live.